Okay, can everyone hear me? Okay, yes. Good afternoon. All right. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? Praise the Lord. He just rains it down in abundance of grace, mercy, joy, and love. Jeremy mentioned in his testimony a few moments ago my basketball team. Yesterday, we had a game, pretty big game, and it's part of a tournament that if you win, if you finish in the top three, you can go on and advance into the regional Chugoku area tournament. So we won yesterday, and we'll be playing again today after church. So if you're free, I need a cheering section, so no. But praise God, I've got my health, and he's kept us going well. Also, I've got a suit on today. For the first timers and our visitors here, welcome. Thank you so much for coming. It's great to see you coming from such a long way, all the way as far as the station. And usually I don't wear a suit. Today was a special day. Naomi and I went to a kind of memorial service for Naomi's late grandfather. And it's called, in Japanese, it's called a hoji. Is there a hoji? And basically when someone in your family passes away, periodically you have ceremonies and memorial services in honor of them. And so that's why I was wearing a suit today. And sometimes it can be conflicting. I, being a pastor of a Christian church, participating in a Buddhist ceremony, and I didn't know how I felt about that, to be honest. So I asked for the advice of our head pastor, Pastor Hiroshi Horikawa. And I said, well, you know, sometimes, you know, we get prayers and we have to go to funerals. They ask me to pray. And I don't know if I feel comfortable about that. And so I asked his advice, and he gave some great advice. He said, Chris, you know, it's not just, Naomi's family in your religion, but it's also his, like his wife and his family, his wife's family is not Christian as well, and he's had to go to these ceremonies. And he says, the problem is not that you are of different religions. The problem is of having a family of a different religion. And so you don't need to worry so much about the religious ceremony or aspect of it. It's the familial or the relational aspect in terms of the family. And that's what you need to deal with. You can take part in the ceremony, but the most important thing that needs to happen is the communication between you and Naomi and Naomi's family. And they need to be clear about how you feel, and you need to be clear about how they feel. And you need to be able to communicate that, you know, even though you're Christian and you pray to your God, you are also willing to respect and to honor their family. And so in doing so, you should honor God, and also, as God commands, honor your parents. And that is more important than the theology of it and the practice of it. And I thought that was good advice. And so our family was kind enough to listen to our side of it and communicate. And I think we're a better family for it. So praise God for his wisdom and giving us the wisdom to do the most loving thing in every situation, with our friends or our family. So make sure you get your records and take your pictures, because you won't see this very often, maybe once or twice a year. Okay. Well, today we're in Exodus chapter 14. I want to encourage you, if you have your own Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If you don't have your own Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. And it's Exodus chapter 14. This year, we are studying Moses, the life, the man. And it's been going great so far. Today's sermon is actually a continuation, or part two, of last week's sermon. If you didn't catch that, I want to encourage you to go ahead and get on the website, mitakigc.com, and catch that first half. This will be part two. We'll be reading from Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 through 31. I'm going to do it a little bit different today. Usually we read it together all the way through. However, I've marked certain verses in black and certain verses in red. Basically, the odd verses in black, the red verses in red, even verses in red. I'll read the black part and you read the red part. Deal? Okay. And if you have your own Bibles, you can definitely read part there as well. But I'll begin. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters divided. Let's read together. And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the water flowed back, and horsemen. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. They put their trust in him, God, and in Moses, his servant. Moses was called God's servant. The servant of Yahweh. When you see Lord in all capitals, it's Yahweh, the name of God, the eternal one, the self-sufficient one, not made by human hands, not formed in any human likeness, but he who formed human and man and woman, Yahweh, the servant of Yahweh. This title, servant, is the highest, most important and greatest title, position, any person can receive in the Old Testament. The title, servant of Yahweh. That is the greatest title anyone can receive in the Old Testament. It's not king. It's not priest of Yahweh. It's not prophet of Yahweh. But servant of Yahweh. Servant. God thought so highly of Moses, he was willing to call him his servant. And this is what he says about him. When a prophet of Yahweh is among you, this is God speaking, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. The title Yahweh's servant was the highest title anyone could be given in the Old Testament. It was given to Moses. And to be a servant, you know, it meant to be more than just a believer. But it describes a person that God is so confident in that his words are God's words. His actions are God's own actions. And so great were the works that Moses had performed that it says this after he died. No one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. There was no greater title a man could get than servant of God. And there was no greater servant of God than Moses himself. Servant, not king, not leader, not prophet, not priest. Moses himself had many titles. Prince in Egypt. A general. A great leader. The author of the first five books of the Bible. But no greater title was placed on him than servant. Why servant? Because in God's kingdom, to serve is much greater than to rule. Jesus himself said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And he himself said, I didn't come so that I could be served. But the Son of Man came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I have some titles. In my school, I'm I'm the foreign teacher's leader, something, I don't know. I've got a business card. When I got my promotion, my principal said, okay, Chris, I'm going to make you the teacher leader, and we're going to give you a new business card because, you know, when you have a new business card, it's real. And so he said, your title from now on is going to be, you're going to go from instructor to assistant dean. Whoa. Assistant dean. So the dean of academic affairs, he says, okay, I got to make some new cards for you. What was your title again? I said, assistant dean. Assistant dean. And so he calls up the card people. And, you know, they're all Japanese, and so they've got to make this title in English. And so he says, the name, yes, it's Assistanto Dean. Assistanto Dean. And so when I get my card, my whole new set of cards, business cards, this is the card I'm going to give, you know. This is who I am. It says Assistant to Dean. And basically that means I'm the dean's secretary. right? Assistant to dean, not assistant dean. No. Assistant to dean. Bad joke. Anyway, that's my title. Pastor. Leader. Minister. But the more I think about it and the more I realize, the higher I get, or the higher position that we get, it's not to be served. But the Christian leader, the one who is elevated by man, by God he is brought lower. Jesus flipped the whole leadership hierarchy, the whole paradigm upside down so that that first person is going to be last. And that person who is supposed to be served by others is the one who has to be serving others, the servant of God. That is more important to God than management, than giving orders. A few years ago when I was ordained to be a pastor here, you know, I thought, oh Lord, this is going to get to my head. This is going to kind of puff me up. And it does. You know, when people say Pastor Chris or Chris Sensei, it's kind of, ooh, wow. But when people come up to me after, you know, church and they say, oh, Chris, that was, I needed to hear that. That was very important for you to say that. Thank you. It's very, very humbling that words carry weight and importance, and that there is a responsibility in any man who wants to serve people. Minister actually means service. And so as we move higher up, as we receive our titles, head of this department, vice president of that company, people call you owner or master or boss, bucho. Christ has a better title for you, and that is servant. Servant. I'd rather be called servant than sensei. I would much rather be called that, but maybe someday. That's something for great people like Moses. As the servant of God, Moses could speak face to face with God. As a servant of Yahweh, he was able to bring down the armies of Pharaoh and in Egypt work all these miraculous wonders the world would never see again. As the servant of Yahweh, God used this man's hands to part the waters of a mighty rushing river. Oh, excuse me, not river, no. Lake. Ah, no, not lake. Sea. He parted the sea. Who does that? Only God's servant. When the servant of God stretched out his hand, God used it to part the depths of the sea. And it wasn't just to, you know, little aisle. I mean, he parted it so wide. You know how many people there were? Maybe up to 2 million. Many people estimate. 2 million people. And they had to cross in just a few hours. They've got people, they've got armies and chariots rushing in behind them. How do you get 2 million people across the sea? It had to be so wide that the people had to be at least one column about 2 kilometers wide. Just all the way, just from here to that river and beyond, of people walking across, and there's a wall of water on each side, and God, when he parts the sea, they weren't, you know, rolling up their pants legs, putting on their rain gear, or, you know, slushing through some marshland or getting their hands or feet all muddy. It says 3 times, they walked on dry ground, dry land, when God parts and makes a way for you and gets you through whatever you're going through, it's going to be dry ground. Perfectly dry ground. It's said that the crossing of the Red Sea is the single greatest event in the history of Israel. The single most greatest, most significant event that Israel ever had in its history. Crossing the Red Sea. Israel was almost literally birthed into its independence, into its identity as a nation. It's where that 400 years plus of slavery, oppression, hardship was finally and completely brought to an end. Where God acts so powerfully that he does two things when he brings them through. Number one, he's leading them to the place where he wants them to go, miraculously, because they had no way around this sea. The second thing he does is he frees them. He allows them to escape that which surely meant the death of hundreds or perhaps even thousands of their own people. Amazing. Now, some of us here have maybe decided and we've started our own journey of faith. We've started to follow God with our life. We've made this decision that we're going to commit ourselves in maybe a way that we've never committed ourselves before in the past. You know, and he's brought us to new places. He's allowed us to meet new people. He's brought us to a new country, a new, maybe even a new job. And then spiritually, we're going to places and we're meeting things and having experiences in our heart, in our mind, in our spirits we've never experienced before. And that happens when you decide to follow God. And then you've decided to follow him, and you don't know where he's taking you. You don't know where he can take you. But wherever it is, you know that it's going to be better than where you've been. That's why you're going. That's why you've decided to follow him. Because up until now, it hasn't been all that great, has it? It hasn't been worth it. Or it's just been kind of... So then we decide, all right, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to put it aside. I'm looking for something different, a different way. A different way of looking at things, a different way of thinking, a different way of relating to people, a different way of hearing things, different way of thinking. And it's not just different, but it's better. A better attitude, a better outlook, a better approach to each day. I want better relationships with my family. I want better relationships with my coworkers, better life, better business, better ethics, a better life. But wait a minute. Wait just a minute. When we decide to follow God and devote ourselves to going on a journey to a place where he leads us, it's not long before that old life and those old habits, those old ways, those old attitudes start coming up and they start to pull on us and grab us, calling us back into misery. We had a great Sunday. You feel great. You feel refreshed. You feel inspired. You have hope. Oh, that was a good message. Oh, it was a good time of prayer. Man, I talked to some people and they encouraged me. But then it's a long Monday, isn't it, when we come back? It's raining, it's wet, you're sick, you're late, you're busy, and you just don't feel like being happy, you know? You feel like being grumpy. You're short on cash, got no one to call. Oh, wait, but then here comes anger. Here comes frustration. As that stress and that pressure builds up, depression just right around the corner, it's going to get you. And there's sin coming at you with chariots and horses. And they got spears just to end your life with guilt and shame, ready to pierce you through. Not again! Oh, I just can't beat it. I can't get away from it. Every time I think I've got it, I think I'm on my way out, here they come. And that will happen. But God, I've decided to follow you. I've decided to give my life to you so that I can go to that land of promise where things are new and better. What happened to that place? What happened to that promise? What happened, God? And God's answer is this. You ready for this? God's answer is this. I've got a servant. I've got a servant. I want you to repeat after me. He has a servant. He has a servant. I want you to look at somebody and say, he has a servant. No, don't look at me. Look at the person next to you. He has a servant. And so far, you know, God himself has been leading you in that light. He's been protecting you with that cloud of cover. But God has more for you than lights and cover and safety. He has a servant. And God's answer to you is, put your trust in me. Yes, put your trust in me. Follow me. Follow me. I've got a place for you that's better. It's different. You're going to like it. But not only that, I have a servant for you. And he's a good one. When he raises his hand, I'll make the wind blow. When he stretches his rod out, I'm going to stretch out my hand and I'm going to part the seas and make a way for you to get away from that old life, to run away and escape from those old habits, those weaknesses. And I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you through. But you have to trust in my servant. Moses, the servant of God, stretched out his hand and Israel was saved. This is in Exodus. That was the New Testament. Brothers and sisters, we are not an Old Testament people. We are a New Testament people. The old is gone and the new has come. My message today is that God has brought another servant, even greater than Moses. The New Testament says this, he, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And on that cross, the servant stretched out his hands. And when he stretched out his hands, we who would believe in him would not only find freedom from the old ways, the old habits, the old misery, and the old meaninglessness, but we also find a new way, the better place, the place of promise. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of, thank you, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The servant stretched out his hands, and God made a way for us to be free, for us to be new, for us to have a different way, a better way. Moses, the servant of God, stretched out his hand at the Red Sea, and God used it to bring about the greatest event in the history of Israel. Jesus, the servant, stretched out his hands on the cross and used it to bring about the single greatest event in human history. And what happened? It says there in verse 31, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in his servant. After Israel crossed the sea, the people put their trust in God and in his servant Moses. There are some of us here who have started to follow God and have started to walk in God's ways. There are some people here who have been starting to study the Bible, have been starting to listen to his teaching, and you're on your spiritual journey. But let me guarantee you that if you are going to follow the way of Christ, you're going to come to a Red Sea in your spiritual life. A point where you just can't seem to go forward. There's no way around it. There's no way above it. There's no way under it. You're stuck in a rut. You just can't seem to get out. Not only that, but you've got your past coming down on you, starting to chase after you, starting to bring you back and bring an end to this journey that you've begun. Oh, it's coming. When that happens, I urge you, dear brother, dear sister, put your trust in the servant. Put your trust in the servant. Do you have sin in your life that you cannot escape? Put your trust in the servant. Are you being chased down by darkness, despair, depression? Put your trust in the servant. Do you hear the sound of hopelessness and guilt about to run you over? Put your trust in the servant. Are you stuck in a place where you cannot go forward? Put your trust in the servant. You have no idea how you can make it to the other side? Put your trust in the servant. You know about that place of promise, but you just can't find your way there? Put your trust in the servant. And let the power of God lead you out and lead you through. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we cry out to you. We come near to you. We reach out to you. We've put our trust in ourselves at times. It hasn't worked. We've put our trust in our friends or in our family. Sometimes they have failed us. But, O Lord, your answer to that is you have a servant. And so, Lord, give us faith all the more to trust in your servant, Jesus Christ. For those in here who are at their Red Sea, who are stuck in a rut, who can't get through, who are feeling chased down, oppressed. Oh Lord, open a way for them. Lord, help them to know that a way has already been made as your servant has stretched out his hands on the cross. Give us faith to believe. And for this we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.